When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Do you know that end of the day that the world is be condemned? That God is going to reject this world and cast them away for all of those who do not have Him in their lives? And that their destruction is hell, eternal condemnation? And He don't want us to go there. And He don't want us to punish us together with the world. That's why He disciplined us now, so that we can get rid of that dross in our lives. If I think of that one church in Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline them. So be earnest and repent. And I don't think it is a small thing when God take us and discipline us. It's not a small thing. It's a painful thing. Where He come and He strip you and you think that God hates you. He loves you. How can you talk about love? Is this love? Well, Hebrews say at this point in time, it doesn't seem like love. But walk away a little bit further and further after you go through that valley of chastisement and you look back. I'm so glad that God did it. I'm so glad that He did it, because why? He kept my soul from destruction. 2 Samuel 7:14, God talk about Solomon. David couldn't build the temple. Although it was his desire to build for God something, he stay in a palace and God must stay in a tent. And his heart was, Lord, I want to build to you the best that there ever is. And God said, you can't. My paraphrasing, your hands is full of blood. I create you for war. Your son will come and do that. But there is also a cautious warning here. And he said for David, listen to what God said to David. He said, I will be his father. He talked about, I will be Solomon's father too. And he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with flogging inflicted by men. God's got a rod. And the way he speak there, he say, the rod that I will use for him is, I'm going to let the strangers come and the foreigners and his enemies come. And they will fight against him. That will be his punishment. Israel has many times been punished by the wrath of God. When the enemy come, invade them and raid them and took them away in exile. It's God's wrath, because they didn't listen when God speak to them. They didn't listen. You know, when I ask two questions here for myself, when I go through the discipline of God, especially when God has talked to me, and I'm stubborn, I don't want to listen. There was a time when I said to the Lord, Lord, help me that you don't say a thing twice to me before I obey. Don't say a thing twice to me. Help me to be explicit. When I hear it, when I see it, this is what I must do, that I obey it right there and then. And sometimes I'm deaf. And sometimes I'm stiff-necked and I want it my way. And I think it is not a big deal, Lord. Why? And then I have to go through that. And then I ask myself, is there anything that God wants to say to me through this? If something happened here to me, who is at work? Can you remember Mark 4:41? Who is this? Who is here at work? Is it the devil? I know what the Bible says about that. I can resist him and I can, rebuke him and I can war against him in the name of Jesus, and we can do spiritual warfare. Who is this? Is it me? Is it the flesh? That enemy that is many times undiscovered inside, looks like me, talk like me, think like me. Is it God? Is there anything that I've done that displeases God? Why I go through, the reason why I go through this? It's an important thing to ask yourself this. Otherwise, I'm going to blame everybody else and miss what God wants to say to me. You know, I sit here, when God correct us, I said, so that we also through that have a deeper need of Him. When I go through that valley of chastisement, there's a hunger that God wants to create in me through that to draw closer. A breakthrough and not a breakdown. I will go through with him. That through this, I will draw closer to him. I wonder, many times we are now in the lockdown time. I wonder how many of us has drawn closer to him, especially those who can't go to work. You know, they have to stay at home, and they, you know, their jobs is not essential jobs, but they can't go and work. How many of us through this whole situation has drawn closer to him? And also the other side of the flip coin, how many has breaked away from him because of the calamities that strikes them, and then crisis upon crisis that is there. Many of them lose everything. Will that be an instrument in God's hand to draw them closer? And I don't say that it's God who caused this, no. But that God can use and allow that for that people, for that person, for me, to draw closer to him. How many of us did draw closer to him? How many of us discovered, but you know, my relationship with God is just like a, you know, every morning, you know, it is just a habit, a pattern of tradition of, you know, you do everything the same thing. Wake up, eat, sleep. Wake up, eat, sleep. Or is there really something busy happening in my life? I'm nearly finished with my fourth point. Acts 14 verse 22. And I want you to hear this, what the writer writes here. Acts 14 verse 22 says, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith. Especially when you go through the discipline of God, or the things that God allow in your life, specific in your and my life. Specific things. It didn't happen to that person, it happened to me or to you. It's easy to abandon the faith then when God disciplines us. It is easy, and I said many times, one drop of doubt has the potential to make me an atheist, because it will grow in my life and it will choke everything what is of God and of faith dead, like that thorns and distals that is in my life. Just one seed of thorn, that little seed that is actually a thorn, that will become a bush in my life. And it will devour everything of my spiritual life dead. One seed. And God has ways to help me to get out of that. And sometimes we think we get away with stuff. We do it now, like the pastor said, we do it now because nobody caught us, nobody saw us. We think it is okay. And die blinde sambok. I don't know if you guys know that saying. Die blinde sambok. What is it in English? I don't know. Help me if you know. If you do something now, let's say to me, and I did nothing, and I don't want to revenge myself, I leave you to God. He will do it. And sometimes things happen to you. I call it a blinde sambok. Maybe you will call it karma. Maybe you will call it that. Bad karma. No. When things happen to us, we are so prone to leave our faith. Because listen to this, what the Bible says. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. That is one of the, I want to go to a fifth point, but I don't want to go to a fifth point like, you know, but I want to leave it there by putting it together with the fourth point. We have to go through trials. And God has to allow us to go through that. If we can understand that. If you can remember Joshua chapter 7, where God disciplined, many times God disciplined a person individual, he have to. But not just the individual as well, he have to, through that person, the whole camp is being contaminated. He have to discipline the whole camp, not just that one person. The effect of that one person's disobedience has an effect on everybody else. That's why we are a team. Can you remember? We are a team. We are a body. Different parts. Diversity is beautiful. And Achan was part of Israel. Part of the camp. And what did he do? Selfish. Greed. You can call it what you want. And they lost against Ai. Joshua couldn't understand it. Ai is not so huge than Jericho. Come on. What happened? And he lie on his face before God, and God said, what are you doing? Oh, why did we lose? You know that, Joshua. You know if you lose, that is sin in your camp. Because I promised you, I will never leave you. But if there's sin, then my presence is not there. And then from the leaders right through to the least person in that whole camp, the next day I have to stand before their tents. And God will pick them. Who's the person that is in trouble here? And they came at the end of the day by Agag. And he has to give an account for what he's done. And he's been disciplined. And the thing is, it's not just him. His whole family. In everything that he's got, and the whole camp suffer because of that. The whole camp. That's why sometimes God has to discipline not just one person, but the whole camp. Is it unfair from God to do that? Maybe you think so. I think that we learn from that we will be careful not to do that like that person done. There's a lesson for us not to do the same thing, not to desire the same things. That's greed. That's wrong in the eyes of God. God was always there to give to them more than enough. Jehovah Jireh. He not only supply our way to salvation, our Passover lamb to us, also in our daily needs. Primarily, our Jehovah Jireh, our provider for salvation. But also in our daily needs. More than enough. And he chastised them. And what the Bible said? The Bible said they took them to the valley of Agor. Agor means trouble. The same as Agag. Agag's name is also trouble. The troubler. It fits together, eh? And God disciplined them there. They stoned them to death. Discipline. Imagine you was a friend with Agag. And you saw how they stone your friend. And they pile up that heap of stones as a remembrance. After they stoned them. And every time when they look at that stones, that heap, be remindful of or be remembered God's discipline. But God is also a God of restoration when he disciplined his children. He took them through dry deserts and things in their lives to strip them. But not just to strip them from themselves or from that thing in their lives. When they repent and they come back to God humbly, God wants to impart something of him in their hearts, in their lives. For 40 years in the desert, and they didn't learn. Until a new generation stands up, because they learned something from the old one, not to do that. That is what Romans 15:4 say. This has been written for us. The pastor mentioned it last night again. This is why it is written for us. To take heed, to take notice of it. Don't think it will go unpunished before God. Sooner or later, it's going to find you. But then the good news is that same valley, Hosea 2 verse 15, let me read it. He say, there in that valley of Achor, that valley of discipline where God is going to take me and the season where I don't know how long it will be, but God is the only one who knows how long it's going to be. But in that valley of Achor, of discipline, now it is when I walk into that gates of that valley of discipline. It's going to be tough and hard. But that same gate that I enter for the discipline will be the same gate that I will walk out. Because listen to what Hosea 2 verse 15 say. There I will give her back her vineyards. It's after he took them there. And he stripped them from themselves. And he disciplined them and chastised them. He said, I will give them back. God redeemed time. He restores their lives. And will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Now this door of discipline later will become my door of hope with a new relationship with God. Many of you is in a place of your valley of Achor where God disciplined you. And I have mine. And I know that one day when I walk through that, it's a new door of hope. A new level of intimacy with God. And it now feels very hard and it feels that God has turned his back on you. God knows that when he's finished here in this valley, here where you are, there's a deeper intimacy. Not just book knowledge, but heartfelt experience. Not like Job saying, you know, it's not from hearsay. Now I saw him. But he knows it is important for the valley of Achor first to discipline you, to strip you from whatever is needed to strip you. And when he's finished there with you, he said, I'm going to take her and I'm going to give back. Not with old rubble. No. God don't build bridges with old rubble. No. New cement, not new rubble. New cement, new tools, new iron. I need new equipment. I'm going to build your life now. Because why? I have learned the lesson now. I can remember one day, a guy sat in front of me. He said to me, it's not yet the mission. He said, when we were still in Limpopo, we talk about liquor, alcohol and something like that. And he said to me, you don't want to know what the Bible says, because he say he know what the Bible says. So, okay. What do you want to know then if I can't talk about the Bible? Well, okay, let me take you to the statistics then. All the stuff that I know, the little that I know. And he said to me, he know how far he can go. I said, really? Did you know that in that glass is a viper? Did you know that? You can't see him, but he's there, waiting for you to just take that first sip. It's all that you want to do. And you say you know how far you can go. How many of this must you have before you are, you know, it's too far? So no, don't worry, uncle. I know how far can I go. I know I can handle it. And it's not just long after that, and God have to take that man to the valley of Achor. Because we think we know better than God. We think we can get away with everything that we do. And you know, money talks. It don't sing, it don't dance, it don't walk. But I can buy everything I want. But there's one thing you can't bribe, or one person with the millions that you have, and that's God. And your sin will find you out. The Bible says, if it's not in this life, the one there to come. Paul said, we're going to all stand one day before the judgment seat of God. Talk about his children. Therefore, now, Lord, and I did the other night, not so long ago, and I did the same thing. And I said, Lord, judge me also. And I stand before him and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, because I heard the pastor say that night, and I want to do it. And I ask you, is there anything in my life now, right now, Lord, judge me now. I want to get rid of it now. It's not a small thing. It's not an emotional thing, Lord. I want to get rid of it now. Show me, judge me now. We are on our way to Pentecost. And many are going to stand before God for a deeper walk, for that living waters, for something awesome in their lives. Then you have to ask God to judge me now for the things in my life that are going to block that living waters. That he discipline me now. It's hard, but it is for our good, so that we can share in his holiness. At the end of the day, the only thing that God wants the world to see is the character of his Son. The image of his Son. And the only way to bring that forth is through that discipline and suffering. So next time when you are being disciplined by God, it's because I didn't listen to him. Somewhere I didn't. Many times that he talked to me, I was stiff-necked. Then I have to come back to him and accept it. Accept it, Lord. It is my fault. It's I who left your hand, and I was doing that and displeased you. And you, the only thing that you've done is through your love, you want to draw me back, but I don't want to. Now God said, well, then I have to discipline you. It's for my good. And when trials come, remember that it is so that his character can be developed and manifest in my life. Don't despise them. And may many who is in this, maybe in this moment under the discipline of God, not to have a breakdown, but rather a breakthrough to him. May God bless his word and be the after speaker of that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. This is a tough one. Just to rediscover that it's not a devil. It's not the circumstances. Or I can maybe mention a lot of people's names, but it's your discipline. And I have to face it for what it is. And I pray, Lord, when there's people right now under the discipline of God, that they will not break away, but rather break through with you. Get rid of that thing that God placed his finger on, Lord, that we will not so stubborn-hearted and stiff-necked, but that we will break and crush under your love. Because you said, when you discipline us, it will be with love. Even Jeremiah said, Lord, when you chastise me, Lord, do it with measurements. Because we won't make it if you just give us a full blow. Christ has the full blow of your wrath. That was not discipline. That was the wrath of God. Oh, we won't survive it. But thank you that when you do discipline us, Lord, it is with love so that we can share in your holiness. So that the world can see that we belong to you and we have something of our Father to reflect in this world. And thank you for the Valley of Achor. Now it is a place of pain and there's no joy there. There's no even thanksgiving and gratitude. There's just pain and affliction and hardships. Everything is dead around me and in me until that process is finished. Oh, it's not a once-off thing. We go through many, many, many disciplines of God because we are so prone to wander many, many times. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that when we go through that valley of Achor as discipline, it will be the door of hope for a new, fresh, deeper, intimate relationship with you. Help us, Lord, that we will not lose heart, give up, throw in the towel, or lose our faith, but that our faith will be strengthened to know that God mean it for good, for mine, and for us. And forgive us where we jeopardize the whole team in many instances. So, take your glory for those that is through that. There's another one that will wait, and maybe a deeper one that waits. Be glorified, Lord, and the after speaker of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.